The country's foreign minister and others were found dead Monday at the site of a helicopter crash after an hours-long search through a foggy, mountainous region of the country's northwest. First Vice President Mohammad Makbar was appointed acting president of the Islamic Republic by Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Khamenei stressed the business of Iran's government would continue no matter what. Associated Press Middle East correspondent Joseph Krauss said he does not expect the incident to have a major impact on Iran's ruling system because power's concentrated in the 85-year-old supreme leader.
Where Raisi's death could have a major impact is when it comes to the succession for the supreme leader, who is currently 85 years old. Raisi and the supreme leader's own son, Mujtaba Khamenei, were widely seen as the main candidates to succeed him. Now that Raisi has passed away, Mujtaba would now be seen as the main candidate, and that raises profound questions for the Islamic Republic, which has always presented itself as an alternative to monarchical rule.
The head prosecutor at the International Criminal Court said Monday the court is seeking arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, along with Hamas leaders in connection with the Israeli-Hamas war. Karim Khan said in a video statement that his office believes Netanyahu and Gallant bear criminal responsibility for war crimes and crimes against humanity, including starving civilians as a method of warfare.
My office submits that these individuals, through a common plan, have systematically deprived the civilian population of Gaza of objects indispensable to human survival.
Khan also cited three top Hamas officials for international crimes related to the October 7th Hamas attacks. Israeli War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz Monday denounced the seeking of arrest warrants against the country's prime minister and defense minister, calling it a crime of historic proportion. This is VOA News. A U.S. counterterrorism official speaking in Qatar Monday said the Hamas surprise attack inside Israel that launched the current war in Gaza has upended the U.S. strategy in the Middle East, and its implications are reverberating globally. Speaking at the 2024 Global Security Forum in Qatar, director of the U.S. National Counterterrorism Center, Christine Abizad, called the Hamas attack one of the most consequential terror attacks since the September 11, 2001 attacks on the U.S., and it has changed the way the counterterrorism center does its job. She says it's a reminder they have to stay focused on the global threat environment.
It reminds us, whether you're focused on the Iran threat, the Al-Qaeda threat, the ISIS threat, the lone actor threat, the racially or ethnically motivated violent extremist threat, the anti-institutionalist, anti-government threat, all of these threats exist all at the same time, and we have to be vigilant.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was given permission Monday to appeal his extradition to the United States after arguing at London's High Court he might not be able to rely on his right to free speech at a trial in the U.S. Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones reports.
Crowds of supporters cheered as WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange on Monday won the right to appeal against extradition to the United States. In March, the court had granted Assange provisional permission to appeal on grounds that he might be discriminated against as a foreign national. It invited the U.S. to submit assurances. At the hearing, U.S. prosecutors told the court Assange could, quote, seek to rely upon the First Amendment protections granted to U.S. citizens. But two judges ruled Assange's arguments deserved a full appeal. It is unlikely to be held for months. The 52-year-old is wanted in the U.S. on 18 charges, nearly all under the Espionage Act. They relate to WikiLeaks' mass release of secret U.S. documents, the largest security breach of their kind in U.S. military history.
That's Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones reporting. An inquiry by British authorities in the country's public health service has revealed the government knowingly exposed tens of thousands of patients to deadly infections through contaminated blood and blood products and hid the truth about the disaster for decades. Chair of the inquiry, former Judge Sir Brian Langstaff, released the results of the investigation at a news conference in London. Contained in seven volumes, the report details how Britain's National Health Service exposed thousands of patients to deadly infections from the 1970s until the early 90s, and then covered it up.
People put their faith in doctors and in the government to keep them safe, and their trust was betrayed. The NHS and successive governments compounded the agony by refusing to accept that wrong had been done. More than that, the government repeatedly maintained that people received the best available treatment.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.
VOA 1.